Colossians once again, Colossians chapter number 2, and tonight we're only going to consider verse number 4, Colossians chapter number 2 and verse number 4. Thank God for this evening, thank God for the songs we've sung, thank God for Brother Wiley, the song that he sung. It's a privilege, it sure is, to be in the Lord's house. Thankful for those who are able to watch on live stream, for those who will watch or listen in the future. Thank God for the age we live in, that His Word no doubt is eternal, but it is also in this generation, in our lifetime, fully accessible. So we thank God for that. We're living in an age where His Word is certainly accessible. Colossians chapter number 2, verse number 4. Glad you made the effort to come out this evening. For those of you that are here, we appreciate it. The Lord appreciates it. And I say we appreciate it because, it is good to see each other, isn't it? It sure is. And it's encouraging to see one another. Even though many of us are tired, for many of us it's been a long day. One advantage of being a bivocational pastor is that I'm in the grind with you. I can identify with a Wednesday evening. Often think about a full-time pastor, maybe on a Wednesday night, carrying it maybe a hair too long, maybe. Because maybe he didn't have to get up at 4 in the morning, maybe, you know? Maybe he did. Sometimes he does. But we thank God for those who have come this evening. It's a privilege to be in the Lord's house, as Brother Wiley said. Colossians chapter number 2, verse number 4. Only verse 4 tonight. And verse 4 will begin. The Bible says, Colossians 2, verse 4, "And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words." And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. Let's pray and ask the Lord to bless tonight. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, we love you, we thank you, we worship you, we exalt your name. Lord, give us a word tonight. Give us a word that would sanctify us, would help us open our eyes and hearts to the truth. Lord, help me, forgive me of my sins. Lord, fill me with your Spirit. And give us, Lord, ears to hear. And Lord, I pray that we do what we hear tonight. We love you and praise you and thank you. In Jesus, Lord, your name, we ask these things. Amen. As I was considering verse number 4, I began to realize that I believe what I have tonight to say is maybe some of the most important things that I have yet to say. I don't even really know how long it'll take me to say it. But I think it is so important to say it and to consider verse number 4. And as I was studying out verse number 4, I began to also understand that I need to say what I have to say tonight, that I need to say it more, and I need to say it often. You learn, if you're like me, that some things need to be said more than once. Some things need to be said often. And I think the subject tonight that we should consider in our study through the book of Colossians is something that I realized this week that I need to say more often. Now, verse 4 is our text, but verse 3 gives us some context. And it speaks of Jesus, in whom are hid, in Christ are hid, or in Him contains all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So in Jesus is all the treasures of all the most valuable sources of wisdom and knowledge are confined in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that means what Jesus is. That means who Jesus is. That means that should be considered. It means that your inevitable meeting with Jesus in the future should be considered. How do you live your life in relation to the truth of Jesus Christ? You're going to meet Him one day, amen? One way or the other, in whether saved or lost, you're going to meet Him. And also the things that Jesus teaches, the wisdom and knowledge of Jesus in Him. So we've already considered through the book of Colossians that Jesus is the Creator. So in Him, He is the source of life. He is the Creator of life. He has the words of life. He is the giver of life physically. He's the giver of life spiritually. So in the Lord Jesus, in Him alone, are all the treasures. Anything that's of any eternal significance and value the treasures and wisdom that are in Christ. In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And thus, therefore, Paul says, verse 4, and this I say, and we could say rightfully, in relation to verse 3, Paul says. But I think Paul is always arguing in an epistle. He's arguing a truth. He's presenting an argument. He's painting a picture of theology. And so we must consider the whole epistle thus far. And so in verse 4, Paul says, and this I say, in addition to, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. Now, simply put, verse number 4 is saying, Paul is teaching that it's possible to be drawn away from the treasures of wisdom and knowledge that are in Jesus. It's possible to be drawn from Him, from His person, from His teachings, from knowing Him. And so this I say, Paul says, lest any man should beguile you. The word beguile means to charm. It means to seduce. Paul says, so I'm saying what I'm saying, that it's possible to be charmed away from Jesus, to be seduced away from Jesus. Verse 4 is a warning. You don't want to leave the treasures of wisdom and knowledge in verse number 3 by being charmed or seduced away from Jesus by the so-called wisdom of the world. And so two parallel the roads of wisdom are presented. Two alternative worldviews are presented in verses 3 and 4. Verse 3, the treasures of wisdom and knowledge in Jesus. Verse 4, the so-called wisdom of the world. And this I say, verse 4, lest any man should beguile you. The word beguile, remember, means to seduce. It means to charm. And to seduce and charm you how? Verse number 4, with enticing words, with reasonable words, with reasonable arguments, and saying that you can be seduced and charmed away from Jesus with what appears to be a reasonable argument, a reasonable presentation, a reasonable rebuttal of Jesus. It's wrong, but a knowledgeable, thought out, so-called logical argument, though false, away from the treasures of wisdom and knowledge that are in the Lord Jesus Christ. And how does that relate to this world? How is that applicable to you and I? How are people enticed and charmed and seduced with reasonable words, educated philosophies? How are they drawn away from the treasures and the wisdom that are hidden in Christ Jesus? And to their peril, right? And to their doom, and to their destruction, being enticed, charmed, seduced away from Jesus with reasonable arguments and logic, so-called enticing words, Paul says in verse number 4. How is that happening today? Well, I believe the main source of that taking place today is in the education system. And so tonight I want to, believe it or not, warn you, your children, your grandchildren, and I think it's time that Christian families need to start being very cautious about higher forms of education. I think it's time that Christian families start being very careful about what they're encouraging their young people to go and be a part of, what schools they should attend, what classes they should take. I've noticed, I'm 38, I've already noticed, I've grown up with some that went to college, went to a public university, and then by the time they was graduated, they had a diploma maybe in a certain field, but also had a diploma in atheism, you could say. And they departed from the faith. They were enticed. They were beguiled. They were seduced with, as Paul said in verse 4, enticing words, a reasonable, logical, so-called argument, a complete rebuttal of the Christian faith, denying Christ, denying God the Creator. And think about a young person maybe introduced into that environment. You could think about they're young, they're impressionable, they are sponges, they are hungry. They're not like me, or I'm set in my ways. They are hungry for truth. Think of them. They are prospects to be enticed away from Jesus Christ, the gospel of the Lord, who can save them, their spouses, and their future children. Think of the age they're at. They're literally wide-eyed. They are hungry to find the answers of life. They are impressionable subjects. Think about the not only who they are ready to receive exciting new information, but it's also sanctioned by parents who throughout their life have said you it's so important that you go beyond even a certain education level. You must go beyond, and we have to be careful here, and I have to be careful because I don't want anyone to get the impression that I think that education isn't important, or to think that advanced learning isn't important, or to think that learning skills isn't important. I absolutely think so. I think children should be encouraged to grow, but parents have to be highly educated in Christian truth, so that we as young people have their eyes wide open, wide-eyed in ignorance. And I mean that respectfully, because let's face it, 17-year-olds have a certain amount of ignorance with them. But we should, as parents, as leaders, as wise sages from experience and what we've observed in life, is that we should also be wide-eyed, and Christian people have to start thinking about the end of this and think of this this way. I think it's more important to be very simple before we get any further in this subject. I think it's more important that my children know Jesus than for them to have an advanced PhD degree in some collegiate field. I think it's more important that my children know Christ and stay with the faith than it is for my children to become a professor at a great university. I would rather my son become a carpenter, a master carpenter, and carpenters can be brilliant, and carpenters can be well-learned, and carpenters can be articulate, and carpenters can be competent, and carpenters can be historians, and carpenters can be philosophers. But I'd rather my son be a Christian and know Jesus and be rooted and grounded in the Christian truth, which is, verse 3, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In Jesus are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. It's not in any outside source. Again, I caution myself and my listeners tonight, that does not mean we should not learn things. But if it's contrary to the knowledge of Jesus Christ and denies Him, it is foolishness and ignorance to deny the Creator of the universe and the source of all treasures and wisdom and knowledge, which is in Jesus. So, and it's interesting that Paul gets to this argument after he presents Jesus as the only Creator of the world, after he presents Jesus as the head of the church, after he highly exalts Jesus, so there's no mistake that in Him are hid all treasures of wisdom and knowledge. A young person is vulnerable. They're vulnerable because of the age. They're vulnerable because that parents and teachers wanted them throughout their life to go. They're vulnerable because we allow young people to sit in a room. The architecture of the room speaks of excellence. The campus speaks of a higher authority. Even the professor is learned and wise and articulate and reasonable. He's not shouting. He's not snarling. He's very articulate and wise in verse number 4 with enticing words, and it's sanctioned by the state of Tennessee, and it's funded by society, and society says accept this, and parents say accept this, and the professor says accept this, and what happens, and the church also in the parallel same hypothetical situation is not presenting the gospel clearly, maybe is not answering legitimate questions that young people have. When a young person asks a Bible teacher or a high school Wednesday night class, where do dinosaurs exist with Scripture? There must be an answer. The child cannot be laughed at. The child cannot be brushed off. You'll brush them off right into secularism. You'll brush them off right into atheism. You'll brush them off right out into the world. Christian people, as Peter said, has to have a reason for the hope that's in them. We have to articulate very clearly the worldview of the biblical truth and the narrative of Scripture. And it must be reasonable. It must be intelligent and logical, because the preaching of the gospel is foolishness to those that believe not. But to us who are saved, it is the power of God unto salvation. To us who are saved, it is the most brilliant truth that ever existed in all the universe, because it existed before the foundation of the world. It is truth with a capital T from a Lord in all caps lock, or all caps lock, correct? And so, think about the young people. And they go into this system, and they're enticed away from the Christian faith. Think about the world we're living in right now. We're right now trying to navigate through a COVID-19 pandemic. And here's some of the arguments that I've heard, and I'm not at all diminishing any argument. There's opinions galore about COVID-19, amen? But one of the arguments is this, that we cannot send the young people to school because one of them might get sick, let's say. And God forbid one of them should ever die. God forbid it, right? But we do not use the argument in any situation when it comes to a philosophy that's contrary to Christian biblical worldview. We do not use it in any way. We do not say, if one person dies and goes to hell because they heard a worldview that is contrary to the saving message of Jesus Christ, we say, within our hearts as a society, we say that is a reasonable cost of doing business. As long as they get that nursing degree, as long as they get that, it's worth it. Even though there's a chance they might be drawn away with enticing words away from Christ and His teaching. We could almost admire the Amish and the Mennonites in this subject, is that they, although we could argue that it's somewhat of an extreme, listen, we are of the world, not of the world, but we are in the world. But we have to admire their efforts, that they are so cautious about their families being subjected to a worldview that could take them away from the biblical truth of Jesus Christ, that they have absolutely shut the world out, so to speak. You could say that that's somewhat extreme, but the principle must be admired. They must be respected. I do respect them. And we obviously disagree on some doctrinal issues, but I do respect the truth of it, that they think they would rather have their children know God if it's even at the exclusion of everything else. Because if a child knows Jesus Christ and Christ and in salvation, even if it's at the exclusion of everything else on earth, I again cite the words of Scripture where Jesus said, what would it profit a man or a child or a teenager if he gained the whole world but lost his soul? It would be better to gain Jesus then and lose the world and leave it behind, wouldn't it? And so we see that's what Paul is getting at. And this I say, lest any man which should beguile you with enticing words. Again, what is the goal of such education even? What is the goal? Well, the goal is simply this. The goal is money in one way. The goal is money. The goal is to get an education so you can get a good job, so you can make the most amount of money you can in your lifetime. Now listen, I believe in capitalism. I absolutely do. I think a man should work and get paid for it. A woman should work and get paid for it. Absolutely. Absolutely I do. I think it's godly. The Bible even says if a man is capable of working and he does not work, he should not eat. The Bible even teaches us that. I believe that man should work if he can. And I believe a man who doesn't, as Scripture teaches, does not provide for his family, he's worse than an infidel, and he has denied the faith itself. And what does the faith teach then? That a man should provide for his own. He should work and he should get after it. But what is the goal of education? To make money. And it's a noble thing for a man or a woman to make money for their family. Absolutely. It's noble and it's righteous. But it becomes unrighteous if it's at the expense of Jesus Christ's influence in the home. Then it becomes unrighteous. For the love of money is the root of all evil. It's the love of money that drives the drug trade. You know that? It's the love of money that drives the child trafficking trade. It's the love of money that keeps prostitution in business. It's the love of money that keeps this going. You dry up the money, it goes away. You think they really enjoy it? No. What they do enjoy, cartel members, isn't so much selling and slinging dope and carrying it across the border. It's the money that it provides. So what's the goal of education? In its purest form, you could say it's for the advancement of the home financially. But what does it profit a family if it would make a few $100s more a month at the expense of Christian truth? It's a bad deal, amen. It's a poor investment. The greatest investment a family can make is Jesus in the home at the expense even of everything else. But I'm glad the Scripture gives us a balance in that. What's the goal of education? The second one would be pride. That you can have pride in yourself, that you've achieved something. And absolutely, that's absolutely good, and it's absolutely true. That you can have something on your wall that says you made it. There's nothing wrong with that. That's why people do sports. That's why they race in 100-yard dashes. So they can say, I come in first, I come in second. It justifies your effort. It's a proof that you worked hard and you achieved something. But let us not forsake the Christ for achievement. Because that's the pride of life. All sins have come down to three categories, Scripture teaches us. It's the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. If a family denies Christ or makes Him lesser important for the sake of family pride and dignity, then a family has a new God. A family then has dethroned Christ from the home, and now the God of the family is achievement. And families must be careful that achievement becomes the God instead of Christ, who is the great achiever. The God of the home should be what Christ has done and who Christ is, in whom is all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Any wisdom that denies that Jesus is the Son of God isn't wisdom. It isn't wisdom at all, it's foolishness. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 7 says that in the last days, this is what folks will be doing. Ever learning. In the last days, people will be ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. The truth with a capital T. The truth that saves sinners. The truth that absolutely does change society that this society is in so much hunger for. We cannot educate the society away from rioting, away from social disorder. No, it has to be dealt with within the heart of human man. Ever learning and ever come to the knowledge of the truth. I heard it put one way that we have enough technology to put a man on the moon, but we don't have enough technology to save his marriage. We have enough technology to go down to the depths of the Marianas Trench in the ocean, but we don't have enough technology to go down the depths of the soul and help the horror of the heart and the trouble of the heart. We have no means to deal with that. There is no form of higher education that can save the sinner. There is no class you can take in high school that can save the soul. There is no class at the University of Tennessee that can provide righteousness. There is no class that you can take and pass an exam that gives you heaven. There is no class, no program you could take on earth that could atone for your sins and save the misery of your soul. There's only one person who can do that. And if everything is achieved at the expense of Christ the Lord Jesus, it is a fool's errand. It is a terrible, vain attempt to find contentment for the soul, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Amen? That's what Proverbs teaches us. And any institution that does not fear God, you'll have a hard time finding any knowledge in it. You'll be hard-pressed to find any knowledge in it at all. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 20, Paul tells Timothy, he says, "Oh, Timothy," he's like he means something. "Oh, Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, the gospel. Avoid profane and vain babblings and oppositions of knowledge," or science, oppositions of science falsely so called. That word science in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20, isn't so much like the technical science that you might think of. but it's knowledge. And Paul is telling Timothy to avoid the oppositions of knowledge or science, falsely so-called. Molecules to man evolution is a knowledge, is false knowledge. Amen? Any philosophy that teaches or contradicts that God created the heavens and the earth, that contradicts that God made man on the sixth day, that contradicts that Adam was formed out of the dust of the ground, that contradicts that Eve was formed from the man's rib, that contradicts the truth of Scripture, is, as Paul would describe, science falsely so-called. It's untrue. See, the world today denies, generally, these two events, creation of the world and the flood that judged the world in its wickedness. 2 Peter chapter number 3, verses 5 through 6, the Bible says, "For this they willingly are ignorant." It means they're ignorant on purpose. "Of that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished." It means they observe the geographical data that proves the flood of the God's flood that destroyed man in his wickedness, and they see it, and it's clearly observable. How? Well, the flood explains how comes there's fossils up there on the Himalaya mountain chains. It explains Pangaea and continental shift. The flood explains the distinction of dinosaurs. It explains the formation of the Great Lakes. It explains the Ice Age. It explains the Grand Canyon. It explains how come man quit living so long. It explains all kinds of scientific things. But the world is willingly ignorant of, because if you deny the flood, you can deny the God who judged the world because of its wickedness. If there is no judge, there is no creator. And then man can do whatever he wants to. So what do? You create a philosophy and a system that denies the God who created the heavens and the earth, that denies the God as the judge of all humanity, and then man can do whatever he wants to. Amen? Then you can marry what you want and be what you want and say what you want and act any certain way. I simply ask this. Has the secular education system made a better generation? Has it made better young people? Has it made better marriages? Has it built a greater society? Has it done any of those things? No. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the answer. Amen? Again, before I dismiss, I think education's important, but not at the expense of Jesus. Amen? I think learning real science is important, but learning theories in the name of science, in the name of absolute truth, is heresy, unscientific, denies the scientific method whereby all science is tested by, breaks all types of laws of thermodynamics. Any science based upon theory without observable evidence and repeatable evidence is not science. It cannot be science according to the definition of science, and thus I reject it. But any real science, I say amen. God is a pretty smart God. Amen? When I look at the sun that it burns and does not burn up, I say God is amazing. Amen? I do not say the sun came from nothing out of nowhere. I do not say that, because I can't. Can you? I can't. And so education is important, but not if it turns youth kids from the local church into atheist. Then it's pretty dangerous, amen. Now we got to be. Now think about how indoctrinated even we might be and not know it. Because maybe in our hearts right now we say, "Yeah, I know it," but at least they got a good education. "Yeah, I know it," but I know it, but she's got a good job. But she's an atheist now. Think about it. She's an agnostic now. What's that mean? She don't really know anymore. She don't really know anymore. Maybe he's not a full-blown atheist, but he's a certified public accountant and took a lot of gender study classes at the university. Has nothing to do. Think about it. Has nothing to do with becoming an accountant. Took some gender studies. By the time he got out of that second elective in gender studies, He's not even really sure of his gender anymore. And anybody like you or me that says that God made male and female, and that says it's an abomination to be other than such as you are, then now that young man who was once an active member of the youth group because he took two classes in gender studies, now he's in complete contrary to Scripture and calls you a bigot and a hater. And they said, you said that God is a God of love, and now you're saying that God doesn't love all people. And you see how slippery the slope gets? But at the sake of what? He's got a good job. Praise the Lord. Thank God for Chick-fil-A. Amen? Don't you always want a chicken sandwich on Sunday? You do, don't you? Because you want what you can't have. Everybody does. But thank God we got some evidence. And you pray they stick with it, will you? I'm about through. You pray they stick with it. I'm afraid they're not going to the next generation. You think, oh, that can't be. Please, Judges chapter number 2, there arose a generation that knew not Joshua. One generation, they turned away from God. We got to pray for them. We got to pray for them. Thank God you can be successful and even sacrifice the money you might make on Sunday and still outsell KFC in the chicken department. Amen? So we have an example even economically that you don't have to follow the world and its lust and its interests and its passions just to keep up with the Joneses. They're trying to keep up with Chick-fil-A, and they're having to sell chicken on Sunday to do it, and they still can't do it. They still can't do it. So they got a good education. We got to be careful, parents. We got to be careful. We got to be careful. At the expense of what? Their soul. Amen. You know I'm speaking truth tonight. At their soul, of their soul. Lord's good to us, isn't He? We got to be careful. Does that mean I can't get my kids a college education? No, but it means you better be involved in it. That's what it means. Hey, what's wrong with a good trade anymore, right? I know a bunch of folks, and I'm about through. I'll through when the Lord gets done, okay? I know a bunch of folks got good college, good degrees, and there's an electrician making more than they are. You know that? I know a bunch of folks that graduate. Now, we flooded the American market with college-educated people, and we ain't got nobody to build houses no more. You know that? What's wrong with being a carpenter? Jesus was a carpenter. I'd say He was a good one. We can find all kinds of biological so-called explanations for God creating the heavens and the earth. And the same man who can so-called do that, he's got to call a plumber to fix his toilet. You know it? Oh, but he can tell me that where the frog came from. I say this as a man, if you can't fix your toilet, you ain't got no business telling me where a frog came from. No business. It's insanity. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. I could speak so much about it. But you get it now, Lord willing. We've touched the tip of the iceberg. And we're closing now. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. The devil's invaded all of our institutions. You know that? He's educating his professionals. And the only thing standing in his way is the doctrine of the Christian church. We need this place full of young people. We need it full of 18-year-olds. Let's pray together. My Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we love You, we worship You, and thank You. And Lord, I find it bitter irony that all the major, especially Ivy League institutions in America today, started out as seminaries. Harvard was a seminary, Lord. Yale was a seminary that taught young people about the gospel. Lord, it used to be that the greatest textbook in the schoolhouse was a Bible. And Lord, now it's anything else it could be. And Lord, the only answer to this failing society, Lord, is the Christian truth. And in You are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Lord, what does it matter if we can break down chemical equations, but Lord, we're dead in sins and trespasses and on our way to hell and taking our family with us, but we've got a good education. Lord, remind our hearts here tonight that any education without You being the primary subject of the heart, Lord, is not as important as You. Help us as parents. Help me and Brittany as parents that, Lord, we can thread that needle and teach our kids that it's so important to have an education, but not at the expense of Jesus. Lord, help the parents of our church. Help the future parents of our church. Build up this institution, this church. In Your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.